It's Let's Talk with your host, Dan Rennie.
Welcome back to Let's Talk. It's great to have your company. It's also great to have the company of our guest this morning. He is, of course, a very funny man, but a very serious man as well, when he needs to be. Amir Rahman joins us on the phone. Brother, welcome to Let's Talk.
Thanks for having me.
First up, as we always do, you're mobbing your country. Where are you from? Where are you living now?
So my parents are from Bangladesh. I grew up moving between the Middle East and Australia, and now I'm living in Istanbul.
And is that a permanent gig over there?
For a while. I just, you know, needed to change the scenery and just needed to relocate. But, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't rule out ever coming to Australia, but not in the near future, I mean.
Well, comedy, it's you know, an interesting vocation. How did you get into comedy and of course, you know, form up the Fear of a Brown Planet?
I mean, pretty much by accident. You know, I didn't grow up wanting to be a comedian, but I always loved comedy and I always loved political comedy. And then I was involved in organizing around a lot of different issues, and comedy kind of became a different way to kind of express those ideas and, you know, speak to my own community directly. And yeah, it kind of happened by accident a little bit.
But in all your comedy, there's always themes of politics, of course, the racism here in Australia.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's hard growing up with the experiences and then to be an artist and not talk about them. It's kind of automatically what comes out.
Now, you've been very outspoken in recent times about the racism here in this country, and of course, we're talking about the infamous interview from 2017 on the project with Lumumba. You were there in the room when that interview went down.
Yeah, absolutely, I was, and you know, as I've said, it was pretty hard to watch. It went for about an hour and a half, and it just kind of went around and around in circles, really trying to discredit him rather than trying to hear his experience.
It was hard to watch, and I remember at the time thinking, this is weird. This is such a weird thing. A man of color asking another man of color if anyone had heard him call him a chimp. It just seemed surreal.
Yeah, and don't forget what went to air was, like, you know, maybe 5 minutes of that 1.5 hours. So imagine watching that for an hour and a half and asking a victim of racism whether they can be believed because no one has admitted to being racist.
It was weird, the discussion afterwards when they went to the panel, and, you know, the all-white panel besides Waleed Ali, who was the one questioning Lumumba's claims and proven claims, as we've come to know now. It was a strange to watch this panel dissect that interview, and someone like Peter Hellyer as well, who's since come out and apologised, but questioning it as a Collingwood fan, it was sickening.
Initially, I was in shock. I already didn't have a good feeling about the interview, but then to see the commentary on the panel afterward, I was really in shock. It was beyond anything I could have imagined. But then when I found out later that Collingwood had directly rung up the project and spoken to Wooly directly, well, then when you watch it with that in mind, then it makes perfect sense when you hear the panel just repeating Collingwood's talking points. And basically, on the one hand, saying, oh, we don't have confidence for them, and making all these arguments for them.
You said, and quite rightly so, you know, why would anyone come out and back the claims? You know, these are the people who are the ones calling him racist names. Why would they be the ones standing up saying, yeah, it was me?
Yeah, exactly. It's completely backwards. And actually, Caroline Wilson, who's you know, senior sports journalist at The Age, and, you know, I would say the highest profile, one of the highest profile journalists that covers the AFL, just last week confirmed that Collingwood was deliberately discrediting Lumumba, and that she personally got multiple calls from multiple people at the club doing that. So, you know, Lumumba's always maintained this, but it's the first time, you know, anyone, let alone a senior journalist, has confirmed it.
Yeah, it's disgusting to think that a person like Eddie Maguire was able to survive in his high-paying roles as a television host and president of one of the biggest sporting organisations in the country after his treatment of Adam Goodes and since we've come to know his treatment of people of colour in his very own club.
Well, you saw, like, in the last week just how well-connected he is. Like, I don't know many other club presidents who could be in the middle of a racism scandal and have a state premier come to their defence, or the head of the league, the CEO of the league, Kevin McLaughlin, who just cannot find it in himself to actually criticise Maguire. You know, as much as we're talking about Collingwood, the AFL has been pathetic when it comes to racism. I mean, they let a champion like Adam Goodes essentially be bullied out of the game, and not just the game, like Goodes has completely disappeared from public life just because the AFL couldn't simply say racism is unacceptable. It took them 4 years and two documentaries before they could apologise to Adam Goodes.
I want to go back to the interview. How was it laid out to Lumumba? What was the premise and you know, did he realise it was going to be an hour and a half long interview? Were you there as a mate, as a support, as a brother? Paint a bit of a picture for us about this interview, because it's still really intriguing to everybody as to why this went down, and then, of course, why it resurfaced and then quickly disappeared not long ago.
So, you know, we went to that interview quite often because, you know, Waleed said some good things about Adam around the Adam Goodes situation. He's clearly no stranger to racism. He, you know, he knows AFL. He's an AFL fan. A documentary had been made about, you know, all of these claims and had been aired on SBS. So it wasn't like Lumumba was just coming out of nowhere with a random bunch of claims. Like, it had passed the standards of an award-winning filmmaker and SBS, and it had gone to air around the country. He'd written it in The Guardian. So, you know, it's not some conspiracy theorist that's just come out of the blue trying to make these claims. So, you know, we went into it pretty positive. But then when it really developed into this kind of cross-examination and the sympathy kind of evaporated, you know, the only thing that I kind of was hoping for was, okay, maybe knowing that the project has kind of a mainstream audience, maybe Willie was just asking these questions to be rigorous and just to give Lumumba a chance to spell it out for people who might be skeptical. But of course, when you saw the final product, it was just, you know, it was essentially a hit job. Like, facts are misrepresented, confirm the nickname when people have, and then even when people have, someone like Andrew Cracker, Woolley just says, oh, well, he's a rare person. I mean, how's an Indigenous man who's also experienced racism and confirmed Lumumba's experience a rare person? That's an extremely important person in his story. That's not someone you just dismiss.
Yeah, there's also some falsehoods in that interview with, you know, a bit of fact-checking. It's not hard to chase up a man like Leon Davis, and he was never approached by anyone from Channel 10, and I believe there was a statement in that interview from Waleed Ali saying Leon Davis never heard that nickname, which is completely false. I've spoken to Leon Davis this week, and he'll be joining us very soon, but very strange that he would say that. And I still can't get my head around the fact that why was Waleed Ali going down this path with the interview? And as you say, it's a mainstream news, I suppose, program. Is he trying to discredit Lumumba and please, you know, these white viewers?
It was really baffling to me until I found out that he'd spoken directly to senior people at Collingwood, and that they'd made insinuations about Lumumba's motivations, his mental health, and all this kind of stuff. And that, you know, basically, whatever they said, Waleed had believed it. Then the question is, okay, if you believe Collingwood, that this guy is either making it up or he's exaggerating or he's trying to make a name for himself, basically that he's not credible, then why are you doing the interview in the first place?
What was the mood like after the interview? Was there small talk? I know Lumumba was clear, really upset. Did Waleed make any attempts to make some small talk with either yourself or Lumumba?
It wrapped up very quickly, and I felt like there was kind of a look of sheepishness or guilt on Waleed's face. But wrapped up very fast. We were kind of in shock, and it just, you know, at that time we didn't want to assume that it was just going to be terrible. You know, we were still hopeful because, again, you know, the idea of what eventually went to air happening was just beyond our imagination.
Well, we typically would break for a song very shortly, but I want to keep rolling because I'm not trusting this line that we're on at the moment, brother. But we'll kick on. If you're just joining us,
sure.
Amir Rahman is with us all the way from Turkey on the phone, and don't have the greatest of connections here, so we're going to try and press on, get through this one. You know, as I said, there was some simple fact checking. Speaking to Leon Davis, you know, he was never approached by Channel 10. We've seen the Premier come out, the head of AFL, Gil McLachlan, come out and praise Eddie Maguire, and he himself coming out saying in his press conference, it's a proud day for the Collingwood Football Club. I mean, again, all of these things are just so baffling, but it just goes to show how racist this country is.
Yeah, and don't forget, back in 2017 when this was happening, Gil McLachlan also made comments about Lumumba's mental health. That was his only contribution when all of this stuff was happening. You know, he said something like, "Oh, we're just worried about Horatio," once again, kind of implying that, you know, none of these claims were serious and that he was not credible. And the AFL also lied about meeting with him. They said they'd met with Lumumba, which was also not true. So, you know, these basically it's just the same old story of people in power backing each other up. And if you're a victim, if you're someone, you know, way down the ladder, what hope do you have if all of these people have each other's back?
Yeah, and another one as well, who I hate to mention on air and to give him any extra airtime, but Sam Newman come out and shared a photograph of an AFL record with, you know, Lumumba's stats and hobbies and this, that and the other. And nicknames was one of the questions. And he posted that to his Twitter and tried to, again, back his old friend Eddie Maguire and discredit Lumumba. But let's not forget, this is a man who dressed up in blackface because Nicky Winmar refused to appear on his footy show. I don't think we can take anything this clown says with any kind of credibility.
Yeah, so I'd say, you know, people shouldn't forget that Sam Newman did a bunch of really terrible racist stuff, but that was Eddie Maguire sitting next to him for all those years on the footy show. And, you know, Eddie's just as responsible for all of those things as Newman is. In fact, even in one of those recent documentaries, either Final Quarter or the other one on Adam Goods, Eddie Maguire was still defending Sam Newman's blackface, saying, "Oh, he didn't understand. You know, he's from a different era." This is what people always say about, you know, white people not understanding because they were from a different era. Yeah, but black and brown people lived in those eras, and they knew that those things were terrible and hurtful. Like, so what's the excuse exactly?
In the second press conference, which went for over an hour, of Eddie, you know, basically saying he's stepping down, not once did he say sorry, and not once did he acknowledge Lumumba as a truthful man or as a man that was the subject to this racist, disgusting acts.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. I mean, he actually managed to make it worse than the first press conference, and basically it was a farewell toast to himself. I think it just demonstrated the level of narcissism and delusion that, you know, extremely powerful people have, where they simply cannot admit that they're wrong, and how he was insisting on going out on his own terms. But really, this is all people are going to ultimately remember him for, is that he stood down over a racism scandal. All you hear from, you know, the rest of the football media was, "Oh, it's a shame," and, "Oh, Ed was good for football," and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, well, he was good for you guys. He's not good for people like communities and, you know, Indigenous kids who have to watch a hero of theirs like Adam Good get basically booed out of the game. And people always talk about, you know, the King Kong comment from Eddie Maguire, which was, of course, it was terrible. But actually, when Adam Good did that war dance, Maguire was one of the very vocal people who said, you know, "Oh, I've never seen anything like that, and I don't think we want to see it again." And people don't remember that the criticism and the hysteria around that war dance is what ultimately led to all the booing and the end of Adam Good's career.
With that report out now, and I have spoken to Lumumba since, not that he feels he should be vindicated, or you know, the I told you so's or things like that. But it is out there now, and people like Peter Hellyer have come out and apologised. There's been absolute silence from Waleed Ali.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible that the white guy has attempted an apology and the brown guy refuses. I don't think... I believe that Peter Hellyer realises what he did. But at the same time, you know, a tweet, an apology and a tweet is not enough. You know, you sat there on the biggest news program in the country and basically accused him of smearing Collingwood, so you can apologise on the same platform. Not that I think it'll happen. But, you know, for Waleed, like, this is just going to be a permanent mark on his career. I mean, the approach of just ignoring this and refusing to acknowledge any kind of harm, I mean, this is what Eddie McGuire did.
Yeah, well, of course, I've thrown the invitation out to both Peter Hellyer and Waleed Ali to join us here on Murray Country Aboriginal Radio to have a chat and discuss. We'd love to hear from them. Amir, we certainly appreciate your time this morning. With the toppling of, you know, Eddie McGuire and others, as we've seen, are things starting to change here in this country?
Well, it's Australia. But well, I think what you can see is that the community is not willing to tolerate certain things anymore. You know, if you see the reaction to, you know, of course, Lumumba's been a very strong and very dignified voice in this fight, but if you see the way the community has come together, the way that open letter with people from all across the board came together to demand that Eddie step down, I think this shows that there's kind of a new way of dealing with things now. And previously, these people used to live in a little sports universe, a little AFL universe. But now, you know, they're accountable to many more people than just that. So I'm not sure if racism's changing, but I think people have got new ways of fighting back, and are just not going to let things go the way they have in the past.
Amir Rahman, we thank you so much for your time today, brother.
My pleasure. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Keep shining, shining, shining till the day is done. Shining, shining, shining with the setting sun. And I'll keep working this station till my hurdle march is won. Keep shining, shining, shining till my droving days are done. Talking with my brother, he says we got to go. Yes, I will be shining. We got seats to sow. Watch out for that boss man, the one who says he knows. He chained our hands when he took our land, but he'll never take our soul. So we'll keep shining, 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 shining till the day is done. Shining, shining, shining with the setting sun. And I'll keep working this station till my hurdle march is won. Keep shining, shining, shining till my droving days are done. I heard that old man Vincent been stirring up the pot. Went up to that boss man and said, we want back what you got. For these measly rations, we shouldn't have to fight. So I'm gonna keep on pushing until I see the light. We gotta keep shining, shining, shining till the day is done. Shining, shining, shining with the setting sun. And I'll keep working this station till my head will march is won. Keep shining, shining, shining till my droving days are done. We gotta keep shining, shining, shining till the day is done. Shining, shining, shining with the setting sun. And I'll keep working station till my head on my to the world. Keep shining, shining, shining until my throwing days are done. Ooh. 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 Ooh.
And that's our show for this week. I want to thank our guest, Amir Rahman. And you can catch up on our website at 989fm.com.au to this and past episodes. I'm Dan Rennie. Have a great weekend. Catch you next week.
Gather round people, let me tell you a story. An 8-year-old story of power and pride. British Lord Vesty and Vincent Glengarry were opposite men on opposite sides. Vesty was fat with money and muscle. Beef was his business. Broad was his door. Vincent was lean and spoke very little. He had no bank balance. Hard debt was his floor. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. Big things fall. Little things, big things grow. From little things.
My name is Vincent Lingiari. Tell belongs to me. The land right.
Lingari kumanda pampuntawia palom pangura pirun pakwia vesti tu pirukurtu wankanyi Vincent mani munu dalas unkunji gidango.
Una mano en la yaraga. Catalina. after me, long tea, before the horse and the cattle come over on that lane. Why I'm sitting there, now I still got it on my mind. That's all the word I can tell you.
Find the keys and the coffee's cold. Keep looking at the hook where you kept your coat. No more footsteps waking up the crack of dawn. But it's hard letting go. There's no way I can replace you. Cause life is like a river. It only ever flows one way. The hardest part is waking up to all the little things I took for granted before you went away. Now that you're gone, I know that I need ya. Now that you're gone, there's an empty space. And the summer feels a little bit colder. Now that you're gone. Playing cards and family feud. Never ever let me lose. All those good times is how I remember you. This ain't easy, that's the truth. There's no way I can replace you. Cause life is like a river. It only ever flows one way. The hardest part is waking up to all the little things I took for granted before you went. Now that you're gone, I know that I need ya. Now that you're gone, there's an empty space. And the summer feels a little bit colder. Now that you're gone. Now you're not here, the only time that I see ya is hanging on the wall in a picture frame. There's a million. And the summer feels a little bit colder now that you're gone. Now you're not here, the only time that I see ya is hanging out the wall in a picture frame. There's a million things I wish that I told. Now that you're gone, there's an empty space. And the summer feels a little bit colder now that you're gone.
I don't understand why they're still clearing. Become bottom feeders to the corporate man. I don't understand how
Mondays to Thursdays for the Murray Hour with Julie Tyson. Celebrating First Nations culture through music, interviews, stories, and much, much more. It's the Murray Hour, Mondays to Thursdays from 2 p.m. right here on your First Nations station.
One block, a thousand suns, one of these days our kingdom come.
98.9 FM, Murray Country.
This place is closing in. The sound of cars and tired shuffling feet. Let's find an open road. The rain pours down on this dirty old town, and I'm dreaming of an open road. Everything's so tightly wound.
You 98.9 FM, your home of true country music and the finest First Nations artists. For the best country and First Nations music, 98.9 FM, Murray Country.
I had to. 6 every weekday, it's The Drive Show with Clay Cassidaly and Emma McNeil.
A little less conversation, a little more action, please.
Tune in and cruise with Clay and Emma with all the best interviews, calls, local news, yarns, laughs, and of course, the best country music.
Sponsored by Mavericks Western Wear Brisbane and Total Insurance Agency.
It's The Drive Show, now with Clay and Emma. Every weekday from 3 p.m.
done. We got no woman, we got no son. I seen a woman giving birth, a woman strong enough to take all the hurt. I seen a woman stand up for the rights, a love for the freedom, a love for the fight. I say, yeah. I say, yeah. Sister, you're my sister. Take my hand now that I miss ya. Mother, you're my mother. I gotta know.
Broadcasting live across the nation.
We're just cruising country. It's gotta be 98.9 FM. 98.9 FM for the best, the best, the best, the best country.